Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. It's a joy to have you with us today. Pastor Ed leads Fellowship Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. In today's message, Pastor Ed Young completes a series of talks titled, That's the Way the Character Crumbles. Today, the Rock of Courage, and we'll learn several key characteristics of courageous living and how we apply these to our daily lives. This program is just a glimpse of what Pastor Ed has to offer. From global missions to his latest inspirational books and daily devotionals, there's something for everyone. You can find all of this and more at edyoung.com. And here's an exclusive offer for our listeners today. Download a free chapter of Pastor Ed and Lisa's newest book, A Path Through Pain, at edyoung.com. With refreshing vulnerability and power, A Path Through Pain shares their family's journey from sorrow and anger to hope and healing after the tragic and sudden loss of their daughter. As they share their incredible perspective, they will inspire and equip you to believe that there is purpose in your pain, even if you can't see that purpose yet. Now, let's get into today's message called The Rock of Courage. Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
I'm in a series called That's the Way the Character Crumbles. We're talking about character. And we've been saying around here that character is a choice. Character often is grown during crisis situations, and character is applauded in community. We're talking about courage, right? That's part of character. What is courage? Courage is the God-given ability to stand. It is the application of the information of truth. Courage. When I say courage, a lot of times, and this is where I totally mess up when I think about courage, I think, oh, courage, man, it's for those human mutations. Courage is for that guy I saw on YouTube that has 43 million views. He took a swan dive into an icy pool to rescue his drowning Doberman. That's courage. Or it's the Navy SEAL who was shot 14 times and helped his buddy out of a situation, saved his life. That's courage. I mean, doesn't happen to me. I mean, courage, Patrick Mahomes, you know, he's hurt and the guy's still a freak of nature, winning Super Bowls. But that's just not me. I mean, that's for other people, you know? So what I do is I'll kind of brush off courage and think, well, that's for someone else. But we mess up. I mess up when I do that because I'm here to tell you courage is for you and me in this average, ordinary, we would say, suburbanite life. Courage is for the gin pop, you and me. It takes courage just to live. Courage. How do we, though, because this is kind of a difficult thing to describe, how do we ramp up and amp up our courage? You know, I've written a lot of books, and I've seen a lot of books, and I've never seen a book on, okay, here is how you develop courage. It's if someone would write that, I think it'd be a bestseller. I don't know, maybe I should write it. Anyway, courage, though, happens in three dimensions I want you to think about as you think with me. The first one is spiritual courage. When you say courage, you don't think about spiritual stuff. I mean, I don't. That's not my knee-jerk reaction. It takes, though, spiritual courage, because everything is spiritual, to become a Christian. Yeah. We have to have courage to admit to a holy God that we're sinners in need of a Savior. We repent and receive Christ. That's a courageous decision. Sometimes people go, you've heard this. Well, Christianity is reserved for those people who need a crutch. It's kind of a psychological thing. It's for people who are kind of soft. You know, those who drink decaf, you know? I would say just the opposite is true. I would say, man, at least we have, well, I would say we have more courage than you. I mean, at least we'll tell the truth about our condition before God. It takes courage. It takes courage. And I thank you for your courage. So many here, so many of you are believers. That's a courageous choice that you, my friend, have made. Also, it takes courage to follow Jesus, to walk with him. Many times his leadings are countercultural. He doesn't always, the Bible doesn't always explain in specific detail all of the implications. It's like wading in a stream and you're walking against the current. Many times it's that way. It takes courage to do that. I read this week, and I don't know who came up with this, but I had it substantiated by a lot of smart people because I wanted to have numerous sources. We make an average of 35,000 decisions a day. Now, who in the world came up with that number? I don't know. That's a lot. Think about how much God loves you and me. You talk about choice. You talk about a freedom of choice. 35,000. In fact, you've already made a couple of thousand decisions in this worship service. And some of you are making decisions now to go, I'm going to listen or I might just scroll. You know, we make those choices, and the choices have to do with, am I going to be courageous or cowardly? Am I going to stand or am I going to slither in the shadows? It takes spiritual courage. It also takes moral courage. Think about moral courage. Moral courage in the marketplace. You know, you're doing a deal or whatever. You say something costs this much, but in reality, it doesn't. You know, exaggerate. Kind of tell some white lies just to get the deal done. It takes moral courage. It takes moral courage, students, to be honest. When you take tests and exams, it takes moral courage. It takes moral courage to run with the right people, to expose yourself to the things that glorifies God. Moral courage. It also takes relational courage, doesn't it? I've been married now for 40 years. Lisa and I have been married 4 decades. And it takes courage. Is God given courage to be married, especially for 40 years? Think about that, 40 years. Courage to fight for that date night. Courage to have your kids on some sort of schedule. Courage not to overstimulate or overcommit your family to the superfluous. Courage to say, we are going to build our foundation and our family on the church. It takes courage. Courage to discipline, man, your kids, that's not easy. Follow through to make sure who they're hanging out with. Courage, relational courage. It takes courage to swim with the swimmers. It takes courage to expose yourself to the right people. Because to expose yourself to the right people, you've got to say no to the wrong people. But the right people are going to take you to the right places, and they will underscore God's purposes for your life. Conversely, the wrong people will take you to the wrong places, and you'll end up missing the kind of purpose and the stuff that God has for you. So it takes courage. Courage, you know, to talk to a brother and sister in Christ, to get past talking about sports and, you know, the economy and business, to really talk about the real stuff. And I'm just so glad we have so many courageous people here. I mean, you encourage me, and prayerfully, I encourage you as well. And that's what the body of Christ is all about. Because the devil wants us to think, oh man, you're the only one dealing with this. You know, you're the only guy or girl dealing with relational courage or moral courage or spiritual courage. No. Courage, though, is something that God is, and he's something that he wants you and me to be as well, courage. So how do you amp up your courage? I mean, as I said earlier, it's hard to get a handle on. I mean, how do we do it? 35,000 decisions a day. How do we do it? Well, let me introduce you to someone that I can identify with. I'm talking about, his name is Simon Peter. That's right, Simon Peter. He was a guy who crumbled at crunch time. Let's get ready to crumble. He crumbled. I can identify with that. I've crumbled before, and so have you. We've all crumbled. If you've not crumbled, you're lying. We've all crumbled. So I can connect with him because he said one thing and did another. I've done that. One day, Jesus looked at him and he was a fresh follower of Christ. He goes, "Hey, I'm going to give you a nickname, The Rock." And I know the disciples face planted. Like, what? He's all over the map. He's ADD. He's impulsive. I mean, they were face palming. What? The Rock. And he probably had it embroidered on his, you know, robe and everything.
You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We're halfway through today's incredible message, and we hope it's been an inspirational part of your day. As we pause for a moment, we want to thank you for joining us and for your continued support. This ministry, focused on sharing the gospel, is possible because of listeners like you. As a token of our gratitude for supporting the Creative Connection, we have a special gift for you. We'd love to send you a complimentary copy of Pastor Ed and Lisa Young's newest book, A Path Through Pain. This is a powerful book they wrote after the sudden death of their oldest daughter, Lee Beth. They share profound truth that even in the darkest moments, pain and joy can coexist. To receive your free copy, visit edyoung.com. It's our way of saying thanks for your gift to help take the hope of Jesus to people around the world. And if today's message has touched your heart, consider supporting us. Your contributions, no matter the size, help us continue spreading God's word and bring hope to many. Visit edyoung.com to learn how you can make a difference. Now, let's continue with today's message. You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
Simon Peter had this nickname. What is the nickname Jesus has for you? I'm serious. What is that? He has one for you because I love he saw the potential in him. He didn't nickname him what he was at that time, some crumbling, stumbling, bumbling igmo, some professional fisherman. He said, no, you're the Rock. So when he sees you and me, he sees the potential. And the Bible says, when we go from this side of the dirt to the other side of the dirt, we will have new names. Jesus will give you and me a new name, and the name will be reflective of what we did with our life on planet Earth. Isn't that powerful? So Simon Peter, I mean, I can identify with him. He's kind of crumbling and stumbling and fumbling and bumbling. And then we move to the Last Supper. You know, the Last Supper, Jesus is with his disciples. He's facing the cross. So after supper, he sort of says to Simon Peter and the disciples, "Hey guys, you're gonna bolt on me." Simon Peter says, "Not me. I'm the Rock. Not me. I got your back. These others are gonna flounder and crumble. Not me." And Jesus looked at him and said, "You're gonna deny me three times before the rooster crows." Whoa. Simon Peter's like, no way. So Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He tells the disciples to stay up and pray three times, another three. They were sleeping. Three times Simon Peter was sawing logs. Three times. Then they come to arrest Jesus. What does Simon Peter do? Pulls out a sword. Poof, cuts the guy's ear off. Jesus puts it back on. I'm telling you, man. Impulsive. A little bit crazy. Rebellious. Doing his own thing his own way. Kind of like you and me. So they frog march Jesus from the garden. He ends up at Caiaphas's house. Simon Peter follows. I love this. It's tragic, though, at a distance. You know, it's really impossible to follow Jesus at a distance, but that's a whole nother message. So he finds himself warming his hands by the fire, and a little servant girl asks the rock, "Weren't you with Jesus?" "No." "I think you're one of his disciples." "No." "I'm almost sure you are." "No." And he then cusses a blue streak. You can't make this up. Jesus is being frog marched again from Caiaphas's house to another house. The Bible says he made eye contact with Simon Peter. And then, so Simon Peter, man, the guy crumbled during crunch time. Of course, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, rose again. Simon Peter bolts. He's like, he's out. And then, this is so cool, the women rush to the tomb to help embalm the body, and the angel goes, "Hey, Jesus isn't here. He's risen." And then he says, "Tell the disciples," in two words, "and Peter." And Peter. So the disciples go back to fishing. I mean, that's the only thing that Simon Peter really knew what, you know, what was up to do. You know, he's fishing. And it's dark 30. Sun's coming up, and there's this young man on the beach, and he sees the boat. He goes, "Hey, guys, you caught anything?" Now, that's the ubiquitous question, right, that people always ask fishermen. "Hey, you caught anything?" And they were like, "No, we're skunked. It's been horrible. Why don't you throw your nets on the other side?" And I'm sure they're thinking, what does this guy know on the bank about fishing? They think, okay, they throw them on the other side, and they bring in 153 trophy fish. Simon Peter realizes it's Jesus. He swims to shore, and Jesus has made a fire. You can't make that up, can you? He made a fire. You know he was thinking about the fire where he denied Jesus, and now Jesus has made a fire, cooking them breakfast, and Jesus, three times, again, three, "Simon Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" He reinstates him, reboots him, and refurbishes his life. The resurrection power, it's on tap. When we share the gospel, too many times we just concentrate on the death and the crucifixion of Jesus. I mean, obviously that's a half of the gospel, but the other half, the power, the resurrection power, is not talked about enough. So what I'm talking about is tapping in to the courageous power of the Lion of Judah. But as I said last week, we've declawed the Lion of Judah. Jesus was and is all about courage. I mean, to come from heaven to earth, courage. To take on the limitations of the flesh, courage. To live a sinless life, courage. To die a sacrificial death, courage. To face all those temptations, courage. To get buried and to rise again, courage, courage, courage. And Simon Peter, you won't believe this, he became known as a man of courage. In fact, one of the most courageous people to ever live, Simon Peter. You're like, what? Oh, yeah. He was one of the catalysts of starting the church. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4, verse 13, because courage is tethered to the Trinity. Number one, notice this. You've got to walk with God the Son. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus, that these men had been with Jesus. You walk with him, with God the Son, you're going to have courage. You obey him, he's going to infuse you with courage as you face your fear. Also, not only do we walk with the Son, we worship with God the Father. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. God is the creator and controller and sustainer. So we walk with God the Son, worship with God the Father, and we witness with God the Spirit. Acts 4:31. Again, they're talking about Simon and Peter and his posse. And when they'd prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with, say it with me.
Boldness.
Oh, that's good. With boldness. How do we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? We spend time in that relationship, that intimate relationship, God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and we hear and we follow and we make these micro courageous decisions that end up accruing and becoming a macro life. So what I want you to do is I just want you to sushi size your courage. I love sushi. You just start popping those little rolls in your mouth and you leave the restaurant, you have a food baby and you're $150 lighter. That's courage. It's not something way out there. But as you think about Simon Peter, here's some practical things you can do. Yes, you understand the Trinity. Okay, you got that. Yes, the power comes from the gospel, but face your fear. Face your fear. Jesus will give you the octane, the horsepower to face your fear. Also, Jesus forgives us. Aren't you happy about that? He forgives us when we crumble. I'm telling you, I've crumbled relationally. I've crumbled before morally. I've crumbled financially when I should have stepped up and brought the first 10% to the church. I didn't. I've had those times in my life. I've crumbled where I should have said something. I don't mean in a mean way or an arrogant way, but a nice way and a loving way about the Lord and didn't do it. He forgives us. And here's what I love too. Jesus patiently teaches us. Think about how patient he was with Simon Peter. You gotta be kidding me. I mean, he would drive us crazy. Yet Jesus is patient. He saw the best in him. And also too, he sees something else, our potential. He sees things in us that we don't see in ourselves. And then, too, with Simon Peter, God always uses unlikely people. Courage. The God-given ability to stand. Courage.
Thanks for being with us today on The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We hope this message empowered you to step outside of your comfort zone and encouraged you to be courageous. Your support is so important in helping us share the gospel of Jesus with a hurting world. As a token of our gratitude, we're offering you a free copy of A Path Through Pain by Pastor Ed and Lisa Young. Visit edyoung.com to claim your book and learn more about how you can support Ed Young Ministries. Join us next time as Pastor Ed delivers another exciting message designed with you in mind. Stay connected with us at edyoung.com for more great content and ways for you to be a part of what God is doing through the Creative Connection. Thanks for listening. Until next time, God bless.